Good morning, church. Are you ready to be moved and to move this morning? I'm talking about both in the physical and the spiritual. The best way sometimes is to do that while we sit still. When we're still and meet with God in prayer, fasting His Word, He will speak to us, to you, to me. Are you hungry for that this morning? Are you thirsty for the Word to pour over you and give you the life that you've never thought possible? I know I am. Now, I do this out of total obedience to my God. This is not of me. But I need some help. I need some help from the kids counters. If you're 10 and under, I need you to come up and help me with something. All right, will you guys sit right in here for me? Sit on the front row. Did somebody pray for a shovel? I brought a shovel. Did someone? Actually, I got more than one. I'm wearing my sunglasses because I'm expecting a blinding light here this morning. A blinding light, but it's some old glasses, so I'm going to transfer over to the new ones. All right, so you guys never thought you would come to church and be given something. Or maybe you did. Have you ever been given something at church?
Yeah.
A Bible? Nice. What else have you been given at church? Would you ever think that you would get Oreo cookies? Do you guys like Oreo cookies? Anybody not like Oreo cookies? Everybody like Oreo cookies? All right, here you go. All right, here you go. Now, some of these are mints. You can share. Some of them are not chocolate. Get out of there, Steve. I know. I'll card you. I'm carding up here. All right, you can share. You like the vanilla? Oh, good. You like chocolate? All right. There you go, Mr. Ben. All right, you like mint? Or do you want to trade? You can sit there. Everybody sit there because I have a couple questions. Okay, hold on. I got a couple questions. You can stay here. Oh, running away. Got the cookies and boom. Out the door. All right, I got to ask you guys some questions because you got to help me explain something. I need to remember something and I need you to explain it to these older people out here. All right, so did you do anything for me to earn those cookies?
No.
No? So you didn't wash my car?
No.
No, you didn't vacuum my house? No? So I just gave them to you, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, now we're going to get some answers here. All right, so my question is, who else gives you stuff for free that you don't earn? Anybody know?
Your parents.
What do they give you?
Candy.
Candy? How about the clothes you're wearing? They give you those clothes? You didn't earn those, did you? How about the gum you're chewing?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, yeah. Who
I
else? Anything else? Oh, yeah, what?
Miss Melissa, I didn't do anything for Miss Melissa, and she just gets me clothes.
Nice, yep. Yes, Ben?
Parents give us guidance.
Guidance, nice. Some wisdom. Now, if our children would just receive it, that'd be awesome. Okay, one more. Here you go. What else?
They pay money for us to go to school.
Schooling. Okay, awesome. All right, so what if I ask you, what does Jesus give us that we don't deserve and earn? It will go down the line.
Grace and salvation.
Nice.
Him.
Him, okay.
Life.
No? Okay. We kind of have a half arm. I'm sorry. Oh.
Salvation.
Salvation.
Everything?
Everything. Awesome. So thank you for reminding me of that, because I needed help this morning. And now I have something extra for you. So you see, you get even a parting gift. Because what is cookies without milk? Come on. All right. So there's chocolate and plain. Help yourself as you go back to your seat.
Okay, that's me.
Yep. Nothing like getting hopped up on some chocolate milk and cookies at church. All right. Sorry I didn't bring napkins. That's my bad. That's right. Okay, so we're going to get into the Word. 40 days and 40 nights before I forget, because Caden was going to remind me. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, shy daughter. Okay, gotcha. Oh, I see her over there. Okay. I'm Carden. 40 days and 40 nights. First, we want to celebrate not only Memorial Day, but today is Pastor Nick and Kathy's 40th wedding anniversary. 40. Another 40. Awesome. So hopefully they're off by themselves and just loving on each other. Now, yes, I know all this funny stuff. And things are a little bit different. And today, you know, I've never spoken from up here. You've always seen me down here. But today, God has told me and reminded me that this is holy ground. So I will speak for him from here. And let's pray. Father, we come to you now and ask you to speak. We ask you to speak through your word, from the Holy Spirit, to just pierce our hearts, pierce, open us up so that we can see clearly and focus on you today, right now, so that everything will change. God, we want that now. So please come and open our minds and our hearts so that we can meet you and see your face and be changed forever. And not just for ourselves, but for your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. Today we're going to talk about Noah, Moses, and Jesus and their 40-day experiences. We'll answer a few questions, and I hope the connections we see will encourage us, that the Spirit will move us, and that we'll be moved. So Noah, what did Noah do? Noah's Ark, everybody knows the Ark. Did you know that actually there's two Noah's Arks built now. Did you know that? There's one in America at the Creation Museum, and there's actually one in Amsterdam that the guy is about to sail to South America. All to declare God's glory and to preach the gospel and to show him. So that's pretty cool. Now, I'm sure he's not just drifting. I'm sure he's got some power behind it. So what did God say about Noah? Genesis 6:8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So do you see us in there? Do you see Jesus right there? He is our salvation. Jesus, he is our ark. So did we know Anybody know how long it took to build the ark? 100 years. Very good. So that's a lot of work, especially when you're building it in not near any body of water, and where it's never rained on earth. Did you guys know that? Never rained on earth. And 100 years. That was a lot of work, a lot of preparation, a lot of plans, in which God gave Noah all. He gave him the plans, the time, the purpose to build, and the strength. So do you know about how long it was since Adam that Noah, the rain started falling? It was about 1,650 years after Adam was formed by God in the garden. So it didn't take long for the people to get wicked, and God wanted to destroy everyone. But Noah found favor in God's eyes. So how long everybody knows how long it rained. 40 days, 40 nights. But how long were they on the ark? Very good. 370 days, they say. About a year. How long before they saw mountaintops? So it actually rained 150 years, where 150 years, 150 days, the waters prevailed. It abated 150 days. And then the final 40 days, that's when they saw ground. That's when they saw the mountaintops. 40 days. So we all know there was a covenant with Noah from God was what? That was the sign, but that he would not flood the earth again. And I forgot, because I got more cookies. I'm supposed to be throwing them at people that answer questions. Who answered a question? I think Todd did. Oh, look out. Oh, anointing by the Oreos. Oh, a little short. Hold on. Well, I could throw this, but that might hurt. It's a little long. Over there? Here, I'll just throw some out, you know. There you go. Yeah, I'll keep a couple. I only got. Oh, I forgot these. Oh, these are good. Anybody have the thin ones yet? Oh my goodness. This is like manna. Really. It's a Girl Scout cookie without the chocolate. You know, they have the mint ones. And so you can tell I really like Oreos, okay? And I'll confess to you, I've been fasting. And I'll tell you a couple hints about fasting. It's not easy. And especially when you go to a grocery store, everything looks good. Especially Oreos, because then you buy too many. Going by the Taco Bell, I'm going like, man, I could down 12 tacos right now and not think about the consequences because they are severe. Yeah. But you don't think about that because you are just hungry, you know. And when your son, I mean this morning, your son is eating chocolate chip pancakes right in front of you. And I'm not saying this to boast. I'm saying this to testify that I've been fasting for you. I've been fasting for this moment, for God to speak to you. That's my testimony to you. I boast in no one but him. No one but him. So, we would say that Noah was faithful and obedient. Would you say that? Yes. He did everything God said. How about Moses? Moses, we know Moses. Well, Moses is my dog, actually. He lets his people go. Yeah, he's a great dog. He really is. Love him to death. But Moses in the Bible, there's Charlton Heston. Remember as a kid, Ten Commandments. His awesome movie, always coming down. But so we know mostly the story. Everybody knows Moses led people out of Egypt. in the desert for 40 years. But he had some 40-day experiences. And God says in Numbers 12:3, now the man, Moses, was very humble, more than any other man who was on the face of the earth. Which is kind of funny because Moses wrote Numbers. So Moses is calling himself the most humble man on the face of the earth. Which is kind of funny because the next verse, Hebrews 3:5-6, now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. If we hold fast our confidence in the boast of our hope firm until the end. So then, here we go. We see the connection between Moses and Christ. Faithful. Hebrews 11:23-26. And this is a funny one too. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw him. He was a beautiful child. So the Hebrews writer must have been related to Moses because he's a beautiful child and very humble. But 3 months, three is also a common number. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called by the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So again, Moses could have had a great, great life in the kingdom of Pharaoh, but he chose rather to follow God. So in Exodus 19, here we go. Here's the 40-day experiences. In the third month after leaving Egypt, Moses is called up to Mount Sinai. Okay, this is before the tabernacle. Actually, he's going up to discuss the ark, the tabernacle, all this stuff with God. This is where God writes the Ten Commandments. They discuss the tabernacle, the tent that God would dwell in, all of its furnishings, priestly garments, consecration, Israel's separateness, purity, oneness, all under the lordship of God. And Moses is gone 40 days. So, what happens after that 40? Anybody remember what happens after the 40 days? All right, more cookies. Look out. Jeff, he said they party. Yeah, they're partying down the mountain. What else happens? Okay, Steve, I know you want it, so. All right, and then this is just because I love you guys. All right, yes, they come. God says, oh, your people, the people are not behaving. So he goes down, and it's the golden calf. So that's from Exodus 19 to Exodus 32. So Moses was up there talking a lot of stuff with God, okay? It wasn't like he was just hanging out. And the people are just impatient and not waiting. Already seeing the parting of the Red Sea, already be given manna and water, but no, let's worship something else. But we're not like that. So Moses goes back up because he comes down. And what happens? Do you remember what happens when Moses comes down and he sees this and he's angry. Throws the tablets. And, yeah, but do you remember what else happened? You remember how many people died? 3,000. 3,000 people died for that. And it's all, I mean, I'm reading the Bible again with my group, which I try to participate, and there's everybody's here, I think, and it's been awesome reading the Bible together because I see insights from other people, and sometimes I'll have an insight and I'll throw it out there, and it's been and the Old Testament has never been so new to me. Never been so new. because it's all connected. And that's what I hope to show you today, all these connections eventually. So Moses has to go back up, and then he comes back down with the Ten Commandments. So my questions, more cookies. How many times did Moses go up Mount Sinai? No. Nope. Seven. Who said seven? All right. Well, I counted seven. Some people count nine. And you can read it all through. He went up seven to nine times. So my next question is, how high is Mount Sinai? 14? No. Too tall. 7,500-ish. Anybody get close to that? Be honest, we're in church. All right. So how long did it take to go up there? They say about 3 hours. They have Mount Sinai tours now. You know, you can do, they have churches, they have all kind of stuff. They say about 3 hours. So imagine, those weren't, light rock. And he had to do that twice, but he went up 7 to 9 times. And one time, you can read in the Word, he comes up, okay, here I'm God, go get Aaron. I mean, if I was both like, seriously, come on, I just got here. Can we just talk a little bit? Go get Aaron. Come back up. So God's sense of humor. Or he knew Moses needed a little more cardio because he had a long walk in the desert yet. So the covenant with Moses, the Mosaic covenant, and through my study, there's different covenants, and we're not going to get into that today, but what was the covenant of Moses? Well, that's part of it, but you're close. It is the, what do we don't have to do anymore because we're saved by grace through faith? Well, we don't have to follow law. Who said that? Oh, you don't know? Okay, I'll get him over here. It's law. So it's basically the law of Moses, law covenant, law of Moses. All right, the old covenant. All right, now we're going to get to Jesus. Jesus. Luke, and everybody knows who Jesus is, right? But, I don't want to discount or think that someone here doesn't know Jesus. You may know about him, but do you know him? Do you know him personally? Because he came, he traded heaven. He was living in perfection and came down here to be among us, to live a perfect life, to die, to be resurrected 3 days later. For us, for all sin, to abolish the law, for the new covenant. And it's simple to receive him. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But Luke 3:21-22, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased." This is when John is baptizing in the river. The next verse is from when he's on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. Matthew 17:5. While he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my son, who I am well pleased." Everybody's saying the last three words. Again, are you listening to him, or are you just listening to yourself? Are you seeking to listen to him? Are you spending time, taking time to seek him, to listen to him? John 5:19-21. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things, and he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes." So if we are supposed to be sanctified in Christ, if we are supposed to be becoming more and more like him every day, we're supposed to be doing that. That. Looking to see what the Father is doing and do it. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? Are we doing that as a church? Have we been praying for that? Because what I see is mediocrity. I see church as a place to come visit and nothing getting done. And this might sound harsh, and I don't mean it to be. I love you guys. I want nothing more than God to move this place for his glory. But we all have to do it together because we're all part of the body. We're all needed and necessary. We all have gifts. I was here this morning trying to make lights come on. And I know that's part of my gifting, is to fix stuff. But Hebrews 3:1-4, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and the high priest of your confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. But just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. He even makes the Oreo cookies." So Jesus' 40-day, what did I do with my, Jesus' 40-day experience. Everybody knows where that was, right? Where was he? In the desert. All right. I only have big ones left. No, I'm wrong. I found some more. Now, see, you know, Oreo is just going, it's outside the box now. You know, birthday cake, come on. You know, triple, double. Oh, yeah. And lemon. Yep, I'm telling you. But no, I still got these. Just the ordinary ones. So who answered that last one? I don't think you're telling the truth. Do we need to come confess our sins? You did? Okay. I'll trust you, my son, who I'm well pleased. So, Matthew 4:1-11. So in the Gospels, there's three accounts of Jesus' 40-day. John only mentions his baptism. He doesn't mention 40 days in the desert. But we'll read Matthew, and I'll tell you the differences for the other two. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And we'll stop right there, because why was he led into the wilderness? To be tempted by the devil. That was the main reason to go into the desert. "And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry." I think that would be obvious, because I was hungry after the first 2 hours. "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" Have you had your bread this morning? Last week? Are you desiring it for after service today? "Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put your Lord God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship your Lord God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Now Mark just says two verses, Mark 1:12-13. Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, which Mark insinuates that Jesus was tempted every single day he was in the desert, where Matthew just kind of shows at the end that he was. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels were ministering to him. Now Luke in 4:1-13 says the same thing that Matthew says, except the last two "it is written"s are reversed. So Luke first says, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only, and then you should not put your Lord God to the test. So the new covenant is Jesus, is life, is our Lord and Savior. And here's Jeremiah. This is written over 600 years before Jesus was even born. Jeremiah 31:34. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart. I'll write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again. Is that what I'm doing? Each man, his neighbor, and each man, his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, for the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So what am I doing trying to tell you stuff? If he says, I will teach them no more. It's 1 John 2:27, which is not in the PowerPoint, and you can look it up later. You can write it down. 1 John 2:27. There's other verses. It's because of him. He teaches everything. I'm just a voice for him to tell you that. He teaches everything. It's already in you. You're made in his image. It's in you. That's why we have no excuse. In the Psalms, it says, we have no excuse. We look outside, there is God. We have no excuse. He teaches everything. Hebrews 9:15, for this reason, he is the mediator of our new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of transgressions that were committed under this first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the covenant. We do this every month. Which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Life. Matthew 5:17-18. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is accomplished. All right, so let's talk about some connections. And this is Noah, Jesus, us. 1 Peter 3:18-22. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. During the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience. Though the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. Luke 17:26-27. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It could happen right now. It could happen the next second. Next minute. But we don't really think that way. But should we? Jesus is coming back. I mean, this says so. And it's truth. But are we living that way? So then we go back to Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. All right, how about Moses, Jesus, and us? This is just written down. Moses was actually in his own little ark as a baby. Remember that? Yeah, they sent him out. There goes Moses, and Pharaoh's daughter gets him. And why did they do that? Because they were murdering babies. What happened when Jesus was born? Herod, murdering babies. Same. And Moses was a servant of God, sent by God, given power by God, was faithful to God, was a prophet for God. Are we not supposed to be the same? Are we not sent? Are we not supposed to be the servant? Are we not given power by the Holy Spirit? So there's a little thing I actually sent to my reading group. And here's the connection. So you have at the top, the first Passover, you have slavery in Egypt, the Israelites. First Passover, crossing the Red Sea. So the old covenant of death, which was law. 50 days later, after they crossed the Red Sea, the law was given, Exodus 19:1, and 3,000 people died worshiping the golden calf. 40 years of transition. There was now 40 years in the desert, and this is a shadow of our Lord and Savior Christ of the new covenant. Spiritual slavery to the spiritual Egypt, which is sin, the first spiritual Passover, which is Christ's death, the new covenant of life. 50 days later was the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people lived because they were saved by the message that Peter gave. 40 years of transition, then all miraculous evidences and powers of presence of God. The old shows the new. Christ, he said that he was a fulfillment. He lived it. And it's all in there. And I'm just scratching the surface. Just a morsel of what is in there, because it's new. Every time you read it, God will show you something new, and he does. So the takeaways for today, and to be mutually edified, which is in your bulletin there, and I put more than just encouragement, is the activity that results in more Christ-likeness, either in oneself or another believer. So I don't want you just to be encouraged today, walk out, and forget what you heard. I'm praying, I've been fasting, that Christ will change you today so that you will seek him more and be obedient. Because the three things that those three persons, Noah, Moses, and Jesus had was faithful, obedient. What else? There's a whole bunch, but the biggest ones, they were faithful and obedient. So I got some S's here, because we're supposed to be on this 40-day adventure ourselves. So the first one is seek. Jeremiah, and I'm going to read these quickly. We have a few minutes. We're going to be a few minutes late, but most everybody's in here. Seek is the first one. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. The next one, surrender. Job 11:13-15. This is a different version, contemporary English version, CEV, if you want to look it up, because it says, surrender your heart to God, turn to him in prayer, and give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Then you won't be ashamed. You will be confident and fearless. submit. Psalm 48:48. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. Psalms 143:10. Teach me to do your will. You are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Saved. So if we do the first three, seek, surrender, submit, we should be doing those continuously. Every single day I have to. Seek, surrender, submit. Seek, surrender, submit. To be obedient. Seek, surrender, submit. Now, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by the grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that you may boast. And I've already read 10:9-10, except with a heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The next S is sanctification, because that's what we're supposed to be working on. Our sanctification is not work, it's him working in us. 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Anybody guess what the last one is? Nope. Savior, who said it? And more cookies. I don't know if I can make it that far. All right, Matt, you cover. That was a bad throw. Yes, Savior, it is all for, by, through, because Jesus. Because of Jesus. John 1:3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created. All things created. Even our cookies. Both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. So I'm going to close with this. Ushers can come forward, please. Yeah, Ben, please. Yes. So Pastor Nick, at the beginning of the month, asked all of us to pray and fast during the next 40 days to move a mountain. How's your praying and fasting going? Any mountains being moved or budged? Have you asked? Has God spoken? Do you have a personal mountain that needs to be moved first? Are you afraid to pray because of what God may ask or tell you? Have you ever prayed for a shovel? I brought one today. And actually, I got more than one. And if anybody wants something to remember today, and if kids want something for the beach, I have shovels up here. Because we have to do this all together. Whatever God has for us, we have to start somewhere. If you don't have a mountain that you personally currently need to be moved, are you helping someone else to move theirs? If your mountain has not moved yet, maybe God is waiting for you to look beyond yourself and to help someone else first. Maybe the answer is your prayer is to climb it and not move it. Maybe it was to go around it. Maybe it's to pray for others to join in. I know I am. Maybe you need to be carried up it. Maybe you need to carry somebody. The one answer I do know is that God does not want you to go alone. That is why we're here, church, family, body of Christ. Now, on May 1st, Pastor Nick shared a vision concerning our church home and that we call CCF. It's a big vision, but not for our God. And I hope it's been made clear, this is not set in stone. This is a time to seek the Lord, because he might do something completely different. And he usually does. But are you seeking him, and are you asking him as part of this church family? Because I know deep in my heart, I've known it for years, that God has something to do here. And it's through you. So he's going to do something in you first, and then he's going to do something for his kingdom because of you. And I don't know. I've had this urgency in my heart, in my spirit, and I've tried to push it down, push it away, ignore it, run away from it, and it doesn't go away. But I know it's coming. I've been asking for it to come, because I beg him to show me. Another reason why I fasted this week is just to hear him. But this is a family. This is together. He always has better plans than we do. We're on day supposedly 29 of 40. And there's still time for more praying, fasting to be done. And maybe we need to go up to the mountain twice. Maybe we need 80 days to hear from him, because we're so hard-hearted and hard-headed, and we're so busy. Because I know it's hard. It is extremely difficult with all this crazy world. But you have to make a choice. He gave you free will. You choose him or the world. You choose every single day when you get up, him or the world. I know I do, and sometimes I fall way short. So let's continue to pray. Because I know this place will be a beacon to this community and to draw in the lost. I know it. And we can't do anything just sitting here on Sunday doing the same thing. Something has to change. And that might sound scary. I hope I'm not scaring the newcomers, if there is any in here. But it's my heart and what the Lord has put on it. We need to seek, submit, surrender, because we are saved, being sanctified by our Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your truth, and your life of your Son, that he gives us life and everything that we need. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to speak, and I pray is encouraging to those who heard it. I pray for this offering that we are going to take. It's now a time to respond to you with our tithe, our offerings, and our prayer. This place is open up front for those who want healing, who want to rededicate their lives to you, who want prayer for their jobs, finances, whatever is on their heart, infringing them to coming to you, that they can come now and bring it right here and put it at the foot of the cross. And we are free to do that in this country. As we remember Memorial Day, let us remember that you are the one that started this nation, and that you are the one that is holding this nation. And I pray that we turn back to you as a nation. So, Father, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your power and your authority here to change lives, change minds for eternity, so that we can go and see what you're doing and join up with you. That's what I pray, all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's worship. worship. Please stand.
Thank you, ladies. Well, I have a few more cookies left. You guys can come up and ravage them, I'm sure. Put them down here. And I also have, if you like, shovels for your beach excursions. So I want no one to walk out these doors not knowing two things. First, that I would give my life for any one of you. And second, someone already did. His name is Jesus. He loves you more than I can say, or I can tell in words. He wants nothing more than to spend all eternity with you. But there's stuff to do for him now. Because you know what? What we do now will be replayed in eternity. That's what we're gonna, what we're doing now is what we're gonna be talking about later. And it's talking about him, what he did through us here in this broken, crazy place, beautiful place that he created for us to live on. So I didn't ask anybody to close in prayer. Anybody feel led to close in prayer? If not, I will. All right, let's break. And I'm sorry, I'm 17 minutes late. Father, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for your blessing to come here, to hear you, to know you more, to see that you want nothing more than to have abundant life for us all through Jesus. We ask for safety as we go on our excursions for the Memorial Day weekend, and all those who aren't here, that you bless them and watch over them so that we can all gather as a family again next Sunday. And we just thank you for your gracious gift of all we need, which is in Jesus and all that he gives us. And in his name we pray. Amen.